about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Go jump in a Great Lake 200.
On November 10th, 1975, the Edmund Fitzgerald sank in this largest lake in the Western Hemisphere. Kevin,
what is Superior?
Yep.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
I don't know why, you know, I bought that stupid easy listening rock, so all that crap is in my head now. I woke up this morning, and all I hear in my head is just like, yee ba da ba ba da do ba da bee, and something about this boat that sunk. They went out on the lake, and they were delivering Oreos, and then there was a big wave. Mark Wahlberg went into the water. George Clooney stayed in the boat.
And now...
You're a f***ing asshole. I wish you were on the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald freak.
Our feature presentation.
Why do I feel like not everybody is as excited about the record of the Edmund Fitzgerald anniversary each year as I am?
I can't imagine. That's an illusion, Bean. Everybody's super excited.
Thank you, Lisa.
Across
that's what I hope
world,
to hear.
People are excited.
November 10th, 1975, 39 years ago, we lost 29 brave souls on Lake Superior in the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. School yourself. Do a little YouTubing on that song and that news event today, and you'll be a better person for it. We have a cake every year at my house, you know, an Edmund Fitzgerald cake.
That must be quite the cake.
little party, yeah.
What is it? Is it
sometimes it's boat like shaped. I mean, we change it up.
Coffins in the water? Like, what do you do?
Every year we mix it up. Mm-hmm. You get it done at the supermarket. Have
yum,
a little party.
Yum, yum.
Because nothing's better than a death cake.
Right.
Speaking of death, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Monday, the 10th of November. Sadly, Kevin is out today, so he's going to miss our Edmund Fitzgerald festivities.
I can't imagine that's why he's out.
Interesting.
Hi, isn't
he
it,
looked
though?
At the calendar and thought, maybe I won't go in tomorrow.
I just can't do it this year.
Speaking of death, though, here's an unbelievable story that comes out of all places, the great state of Florida, America's penis, Boca Raton. Here's a mom, new mom, who is giving birth to her baby girl. This just happened in October. She gave birth to a baby girl, and something went wrong, as unfortunately sometimes happens in childbirth.
Sure.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
That's correct. Amniotic fluid entered her bloodstream and heart and created a vacuum, stopping her circulation.
Oh, my God. I've never heard of that.
Never heard of this before either. So she's in bad, bad shape. And according to this article from the Associated Press, doctors worked on her for 3 hours to try to revive her. The last 45 minutes of which, she had no pulse.
Wow.
No heartbeat, no pulse for 45 minutes. Now, I am amazed that, and I know, doctors do everything they can to save you in there, but 10 minutes in when you're working on a body with no heartbeat, 20 minutes in, 30 minutes in, how do you have the confidence to keep going?
I don't know. That's shocking to me. I mean, they still have the blood circulating because they're probably pumping
assisting
the heart.
Her somehow? Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe so. But still, at what point do you call it? Well, that's about the point where they're going to call it.
Yeah.
Doctors had the family into the operating room and told them there was nothing more that they could do for Ruby Grapera Casimiro. She's 40 years old.
Oh.
At the time they were getting ready to call her death, she spontaneously resuscitated.
Yay!
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
And has no brain damage.
Wow. That's why they keep going, I guess.
Two medical miracles happening. One is that she came back after not having a pulse for 45 minutes, and two, that she survived without brain damage. She is now home and caring for her newborn daughter. Both are healthy and well.
That is the best story ever. That's stunning.
An absolute medical miracle. Doctors have no immediate explanation for her survival, calling her case one of divine providence. So congratulations to the doctors there at the Boca Raton Regional Hospital in Boca Raton, Florida, for their good work. I mean, there's no question they saved her life by how hard they worked to keep her alive.
Yeah.
But it's just a miracle. I mean, even for men of science, every once in a while something comes along and they just have to go, I don't understand. That's just not – because on paper there's no way – you ever come out of that coma after 45 minutes without a pulse, right? I mean,
yeah.
Unless, like you said, Lisa, whatever they were doing to artificially keep moving her blood through her must have been enough to keep her brain moving. So
kept oxygen going to her brain.
Yeah, just a crazy story.
Yeah, and if they'd stopped at 10 minutes, I imagine this would have a very different ending, right? If they hadn't continued as long as they had.
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine so. I mean, you know, they took it to the time where they finally were giving up and were ready to call the death. And then she just came back out of nowhere. It's just a crazy, crazy story.
My gosh.
So, all right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Who the hell is Edmund Fitzgerald?
Well, we don't have time to get into that right now. Sir Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the show with us today. Also, we've got Michael Cudlitz from The Walking Dead. He's Abraham, don't you know?
Yep.
What's it like for him as a man walking around with that hair and that facial hair in the world of 2014?
That's got to be weird.
You didn't see the episode last night, Lisa.
I only saw the first 10 minutes.
It was a big episode for Abraham and a big episode for Eugene. So we're going to have a lot to talk about with Mr. Cudlitz later on. He's one of our all-time favorites. He's on the program today. Another of our all-time favorites is the great TV's Batman, Adam West, joins us on the program today.
Awesome.
Andrew Siciliano will be in studio recapping week number 10 of the NFL. Muggs, are you betting at all anymore?
I am, and surprisingly, I mean, this wouldn't surprise you, but I'm not listening to RJ when I should be.
Why?
I don't
know. My God.
He's amazing. He sees the future.
He's a goddamn magician is what he is.
He is.
Lisa, do you remember on Friday's show how hard we mocked him for picking the Jets over the Steelers?
How'd that go?
Jets destroyed the Steelers.
Yeah.
I mean,
and what does he have to do, Bugs?
How many 3-0 weeks does he have to come on the show before you go, hey, maybe the guy knows what he's talking about?
I think I'm a little superstitious that the minute I listen to his picks, they're not going to work.
Well, if you keep waiting, I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually. I mean, but the money you would have won already up till this point, you could afford a bad week after that.
I know.
Anyway, we'll talk all things NFL with Andrew coming up. And, there's a little something called the 25th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert that today we announced the details for you with a very special guest on the show with us as well. That'll be at 7:20 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat, and that's next on K-Rock. It's almost time. 7:20 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the 25th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, the announcement you have been waiting for. Very exciting today, right, Ralph?
Oh, God, yes.
It's like coming down on Christmas morning and seeing a big old tree with presents underneath, and you just get to go wild. Just open them all.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
We're holding nothing back.
Oh, God, no.
If you don't listen today, we both lose money. That's how big the announcement is.
Well, I'm glad you're not overselling this at all.
I don't think we could oversell this one. I think this one's a keeper. I think this was a good one. We're going to be everybody's going to be happy with it.
The men all ducked out and they died and they're dead and they drowned because their boat wasn't floating.
Oh, I hope we have Gordon Lightfoot. I'm not allowed to peek yet, but I hope Gordon Lightfoot's on the bill. Wouldn't that be the best?
Sure, he will be. Because look, it is Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald Day.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you for acknowledging that. Hey, time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, it's Monday, so we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Today is no different. Big Hero 6, surprisingly, edged out Interstellar. Both the films debuted this weekend, but Big Hero 6 was the winner by the tune of about $7 million. $56.2 million made it number one this weekend.
Wow, what a huge box office weekend to have two movies that big.
Yeah, Interstellar made a little bit over $50 million. So, top two movies made over $100 million at the box office this weekend. Then there was, as you can imagine, a significant drop-off. Third was Gone Girl with $6 million. $56 million? $6 million.
That's less.
Ouija board also made $6 million. Then St. Vincent came in at number five with $5.7 million. Nightcrawler, Fury, John Wick, Alexander, and blah, 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 blah. And The Book of Life, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office. This weekend, the debut of the Stephen Hawking biography, The Theory of Everything, which was only playing in five theaters around these great United States bars, made about $200,000 over the weekend, if you were curious. But all that matters is it's out there, so it gets Oscar consideration come this March. That's all that matters. Beans people in the news.
Uh-oh.
Miley Cyrus. I don't know if you follow her on the Instagram or not, but her pet pig, Bubba Sue, was on Instagram this weekend as Miley posted pictures of Bubba Sue. Oh, more importantly, Bubba Sue's feet, her pig feet, that Miley had given her a pedicure over the weekend. Pig, okay. Pig, gonna be looking fresh, was the caption of the photo.
Okay.
Stop it, beans people.
I didn't have anything to do with this.
You and your pig, you people who think pigs are pets, stop it.
Pigs are pets,
and
first of all.
Stop giving them manicures and pedicures.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think they need that.
They're pigs. They spend most of their time walking in their own poop. As does Miley Cyrus, oddly enough. A lot of people don't know that, but it's true. What are they going to do with the sequel to Bridget Jones's Diary, the third?
Well, they gotta first find someone who looks like Renee Zellweger.
Right, what are they gonna do? How are they gonna explain away Bridget Jones now? She had a horrible car accident. They did the best they could to patch her back together. And now, Hugh Grant has told the press that while he thinks the book is excellent, he doesn't see a role for his character in the next film. So he decided he will not participate. And now the producers are wondering whether it can happen at all.
Do you think there's a lot of appetite for a sequel to that this far past the first two?
Look, I know women who treat that movie like it's
I
gone
loved
with
that
the wind.
Movie, but I read the third book and
yeah.
It can go. I'm fine.
They said at the Country Music Awards last week with Carrie Underwood, they said we'll make fun of anything tonight except for Renee Zellweger because she might be here.
Because they would know because she looks so different.
Because how would we know?
Our buddy Andy Dick's in trouble.
Oh, this is sad.
Yeah, Andy got arrested on Friday night on suspicion of felony grand theft. Some guy says Andy came up to him and said, "Can I see that necklace you're wearing?" The guy took it off, and then Andy took off with it, a $1,000 necklace. Andy was arrested and then later posted $25,000 bail, was released early Saturday morning. Not the first time Andy's been in trouble with the police, but still.
Yeah.
You wish that wasn't the case, right?
Like, what could he have been thinking? Or do you think he's probably high or something? It just seemed funny to him?
Yeah, I'm guessing he just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the guy with the necklace probably didn't. Hey, Andy Dick just stole my necklace. And, sadly, say goodbye to Selfie. I'm sure Lisa watched it and loved it. Selfie on
you
ABC.
Know, I watched it a couple of times.
Wow, a couple of times.
Then I said, nah.
Yeah, well, America said meh earlier than you did, and the ratings have not been good. And ABC has announced that Selfie will wrap after the original 13 episodes it's been ordered for. So it's like Selfie is going to go away.
It's a shame. I never saw it, by the way, but I love John Cho.
I saw the first one.
I love John, and of course I love Karen as well as you do, Ralph. Karen Gillian. They're both outstanding actors, and I hope they'll find something else for him.
I think part of the problem was her character is just not very likable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it didn't feel like there was anywhere for them to really go with it.
No. You could tell they were trying to create some sort of Sam and Diane thing where a romance would be brewing between the two, but it just was so unlikely and so ridiculous.
And I also think that the name had to be a turnoff for some people.
Yeah, probably some
people
look, never bothered.
Even the show was largely, you're not on Facebook. And it was all sort of focused around the social media culture. And it's like trying to make a TV show about lava lamps or pet rocks in the 70s. You know, you can't just take something that's fashionable, a topic that's fashionable, and try to create a series out of it. You have to have something else there.
Right.
I think,
right.
Other than just the topicality. And that may be where they fell short. So, what are you going to do? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars are born on today, the 10th of November. Josh Peck, the actor, is 28 years old today. Speaking of the Country Music Awards, Miranda Lambert is 31 years old. DJ Diplo is 36. Walter Goggins, you know him from The Shield and from that show, the other one.
Sons of Anarchy.
That's it. 43 years old today. Rapper Warren G is 44 years old. Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy is 45 years old. Tracy Morgan. 46 years old today. I hope he's healing up still nicely. And Sinbad celebrates his 58th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Michael Cutlets Abraham from The Walking Dead joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous Carrick. Also, TV's Batman Adam West will be on just after 8 o'clock. And Andrew Siciliano recaps week number 10 of the NFL. That's all coming up here on K-Rock. Muggs, you're the only guy I know who misses the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, yeah. Why can't they come back?
Well, they are still alive. The Klan, you know, the Klan has been around for 100 years or something like that. And they, for folks who don't recognize the name or haven't thought about them in a while, those are the racists in the big white hats. And they have had, at times in this country, they have had hundreds of thousands of members. Fortunately, mostly they've been tamped down, but there are still pockets here and there of Klansmen who are trying to keep it going. Every once in a while, you'll see a terrible story about somebody, you know, getting a crossburn in their front yard. That's usually Klan related or people who are imitating the Klan. Well, Montana is one place where the Klan is still working. There's a man in Great Falls who works with the Klan there. His name is John Abar. Lisa May, tell me what you think about his idea.
Okay.
He says the Klan is different in 2014. We're not racist. In fact, the Klan is for a strong America. White supremacy is the old Klan. This is the new Klan. He is talking about bringing more diversity to the Klan.
Okay. So, I mean, that's all the Klan was about before.
Yes.
Was crushing out any diversity.
That's right. Was if it ain't white, it ain't right. That was the Klan. That's your grandfather's Klan, though. Yeah. Lisa, this is the new Klan. So, where your black and Latino neighbors can now put on the hood.
And burn crosses? I mean, I don't know. What do they do?
Well, why don't we find out? Because we go to the great state of Montana right now. We talk to Mr. John Abar on the phone with us from Great Falls, Montana. Hey, John.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, we're fine, but frankly, we're a little confused, a little muddled.
I can tell you're a little confused. Yeah. You said earlier that the KKK were the people in the big white hats. And we don't wear white hats, we wear hoods.
Well, hoods, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, you're right.
White hats, you're thinking the Lone Ranger, I think you were thinking of him. We're in hoods, and we're all for a strong America, and that's the new KKK, yeah.
Now, which one is the Pope? Is he the hood, or is he a white hat also?
He's neither. He's got a hat that kind of looks like a hood. He's got a big, pointy hat.
Okay,
and,
all right.
It doesn't cover his face. Our hoods cover our faces and are also pointy, and then we wear the sheets as well. It's a whole white ensemble.
Okay, and that's because you're cowards and don't want people to know that you're racist.
Oh, no, au contraire. It's for safety reasons. We do most of our work at night, and you don't want to get hit by a semi or something.
I see.
Highly reflective, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so how is this going to work with a more diverse Ku Klux Klan?
Well, look, the old Klan, well, first of all, I think the KKK gets a bad rap, first of all, for all the lynching, and as you mentioned, burning crosses, if you want to call them that.
that's what they are.
Property.
But you deserve the bad rap.
Technically, they were crosses, and I guess you could claim they were on flambé.
Right.
But that created a bad reputation, I think, for the KKK.
Were we overlooking the good work you were doing?
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up, madam. That is exactly what I was going to say.
Okay.
You were ignoring a lot of the excellent charity work the KKK would do.
Well, I have to say I've never heard one single thing about that.
Well, there you have it.
Okay, but what kinds
and
of things?
So forth.
Right, but what kinds of things? What kinds of good was the Klan doing?
Tons of things. We used to do... we would bail white people out of jail once they got arrested for beating up black people, for example.
Oh, I see. That's the kind of good thing.
White people couldn't afford bail or even representation, and the KKK would take care of that. So there's something good they did.
Yeah, right. All right. So how – look, recruiting for non-whites must be tough in the Klan. How do you talk your African-American and Latino neighbors into being part of your organization, John?
Well, I got four words for you. Boys in the hoods. Boom. Put that on a poster down there in the inner city, and I think we're going to get a turnout. Because first of all, they love that damn movie. And second of all, it's got a double meaning, you see. Hoods, meaning neighborhoods, of course, but then there's hoods like we wear them, and boom.
Understood.
Also, in a white hood, everybody's white. So, look, they got that advantage coming to them, too.
Oh, my God.
But how are you going to get black people to dress in a Klan outfit and go out and intimidate other black people?
Excellent point. I'm glad you brought that up. Bling.
Bling.
Yeah, oh, this isn't at all racist, by the way.
We're going to start wearing bling on the outside of the robe. Nice, big, thick gold chains wrapped around those hoods. Tell me that ain't going to be. What are you laughing at? There's a brown man behind me laughing right now over my shoulder.
What's his name?
A stronger America, Omar.
Oh, yeah, we got one of those, too, yeah.
I'll take a Tyrone over an Omar any day, I'll tell you that much.
Okay, I don't think we want to rank the races right now, John, but it sounds to me like what you're saying is that you think that all African-Americans are into hip-hop, like Boys in the Hood, movies and music, and also into expensive jewelry.
And want to be white.
Thank you. Finally, somebody understands. But-
1 hour from right now, all the details you want for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Very excited about that. Man, we've come a long way since the first year back in 1990 with Dramarama and the Posies. The Trash Can Sinatras were on that first year.
Oh, my God.
Chris Isaac, going back a ways back to 1990. So the 25th annual show is almost here. Details in 1 hour. First, though. How about our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com? Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, my friend?
It was good. Did you say 25 years of Kevin and Bean?
What I said was 25 years of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. We're getting ready to announce that this morning. But coincidentally, we started at the same time. So, I mean, we were there at that first Acoustic Christmas Concert in 1990 as well.
Wow.
I know. Don't rub it in, dude.
No. There's nothing good about pointing that out. We just had our 9th anniversary on Saturday.
Really?
Hey, congratulations, man.
Wow.
Congratulations.
The biggest thing is Telepictures sprung for a gourmet waffle truck.
A waffle truck?
You know what? It was awesome. It was amazing. It was, because we saw this thing, we got Mario Batali out on, in New York, and he was next to a waffle truck, and I was obsessing about it. So the seats of Telepictures found out about it, so they sent us a waffle truck for our 9th anniversary.
That's super cool that they were actually paying attention to that. They care.
Who knew? They watched the show.
Why are you still working, Harvey? Why haven't you retired with your TMZ money on a private island?
Okay, stop it.
I'm serious. You're the genius, the brains behind this thing. I'm sure you could walk away at any time.
What are we trying to probe here?
I'm always, look, here's my thing, and Lisa will back me up on this. Anytime I see someone that works that doesn't have to, it confuses me.
Yes.
And then Kevin, he's not in today, but Kevin usually says, hey, some people want to have something to do when they get up in the morning. They don't want to have just an empty free day. And maybe you're one of those people who needs to stay busy. I don't know.
You have just tried to psychoanalyze me.
I'm just confused.
What if I actually enjoy this?
Well, that's his question.
That's my question. Do you do it because you love it, Harvey?
Miranda writes here.
All right.
Wow.
All right. I'm not trying to put you on the spot here. I'm just saying congratulations on 9 years of TMZ, man. That is really, really awesome. You certainly have changed the game. Let's talk about a couple of quick stories up on the site this morning that you'll be talking more about on the TV show later on today on Channel 11. First of all, with Christmas around the corner, you think you give good gifts.
Wait till you
hear about Angelina Jolie and what she coughed up for Brad for their wedding.
I have to tell you, this is one of my favorite stories in a long time. So, you know, Steve Sobroff is the L.A. Police Commission president. Turns out he has the most unbelievable typewriter collection. And I mean, first you think, oh, what's a typewriter collection? Well, let me tell you what it is. Typewriter collection is last typewriter John Lennon ever used. The Unabomber's typewriter. Tennessee Williams typewriter, two typewriters from Ernest Hemingway, and on and on and on. It's incredible what this guy has. So Angelina Jolie found out about it, and we are told that in June, her agent called Sobroff and said she wants to give Brad, a wedding present with one of these typewriters. So the first thing she asked for is the Tennessee Williams one, but because she has it's a Cannon on a Hot Tin Roof tattoo on her, so it was meaningful to her, and he wouldn't sell it to her. So then she found out that he has two Hemingway typewriters, so she said, would you sell me one? And she offered $250,000, and he'd be out of his mind not to do it, so he said, okay.
Wow.
And by the way, this is the typewriter that he used to write For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Okay, so that has literary significance. Is that something that Brad Pitt is into, or that's something that Angelina is buying for him under the guise of a wedding gift, but it's really for her?
Well, it was a wedding gift. He has some interest in this, apparently. So we're told she put down a $10,000 check. This was all done through her agent, but it's on her company. An $11,000 check. And then, for whatever reason, and I don't know why, I heard one version, but I'm not sure if it's so or not. But she backed out. She just said, I don't want to do it. And she didn't even ask for the money back. I mean, that's Angelina Jolie money for you. And apparently he sent the check back anyway. But she didn't buy it. But I don't know what she got him instead, because I can't imagine anything more awesome than that.
Harvey, have you asked how the L.A. Police Commission president can afford a collection like this if things
go like that? He's a businessman who got that position. He's not like a civil servant.
Oh, I got you. Okay. It's interesting to me that the Unabomber typewriter would be something that could be in private hands. Wouldn't you think that somehow that would be
evidence? Yeah.
Yeah, that would be held onto by the FBI for some reason or something. I guess not.
I don't know, but he's got the Unabomber. Which would you rather? Hey, okay, three choices: Unabomber, John Lennon, Hemingway. Which do you choose?
Hemingway.
I think it'd be probably Hemingway for me, yeah. I mean, that's the typewriter that he wrote for Whom the Bell Tolls On, right? I mean, that's pretty heavy-duty memorabilia right there.
Okay, what if John wrote Imagine on that typewriter?
Well, I'm more of a literary person, so I would still go with Hemingway.
Look, if you're into collectible typewriters, they're both A+. <You know? laughs> They're both pretty cool. All right. We got a couple minutes left. Let's talk about a very funny story. You don't see anything like this on TMZ very often, but the Fat Mike story. He, of course, the singer for NoFX, who we play here on K-Rock. What happened, Harvey?
I loved it. So they're performing, I think it was Australia. And yeah, it was Australia. And this fan comes up on the stage and wants to, like, hug him or something. And you've got to go on the website and see this. But he kicks the guy. Fat Mike kicks this guy. No, first he hits him in the face. He just literally knocks him to the ground. And as soon as he gets to the ground, he kicks him in the face. So it's a 1-2 kind of thing. And the guy gets up, and then the guy apologizes for coming on stage. I mean, I guess it's one of those concerts where the fans actually like this. And so Fat Mike apparently felt bad about it. So Fat Mike, a day or two later, invites the guy to his dressing room to come see the show, but first to come to his dressing room. And so Fat Mike, this is so hilarious. Fat Mike says to him, okay, look, I'm going to let you kick me, and you can kick me as hard as you can. And so the guy says, do you really want me to do that? And he says, absolutely. And then Fat Mike looks down and sees he's wearing boots. And so Fat Mike makes him take the boots off. You know those slippers that you get, like, in a hotel? Those, like, fuzzy slippers?
Right.
He has to put on these fuzzy slippers, and he can kick him with that. So he takes off the boot, makes him take off the boot, and it's like, how badly can a fuzzy slipper hurt you anyway?
That is weak. Look, it's hilarious that he offered him a free kick. And by the way, he didn't do it because he felt bad. He did it because he was worried the fan was going to sue NoFX for everything they've made this year, I bet, at the concert,
interesting.
Right?
Interesting.
Wouldn't you think?
I mean, it's a good theory.
So he looks like a big, brave man to let the guy come backstage and kick him, but then he takes away all of his weapons. So I don't know.
Except I will say that the guy did come at him on stage, and I think if somebody's coming at you on stage and you look and you react, I don't think he's got a problem.
Yeah, maybe so. Just like the Tim McGraw story from earlier this year. Remember, right, where he kind of slapped
right
down his hands?
Yeah.
Well, it must have been a huge thrill for this guy who's a big NoFX fan to get a chance to go backstage and hang out with the dude, kick him or not, right?
He was excited about getting kicked.
It sounds like a win-win. All right, Harvey, we'll be talking about that on the TMZ TV show today on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Live. Don't forget Monday through Friday at 4, also on 11, and then TMZ Hollywood Sports. There's Monday through Friday at 5 on the Reels. That's with a Z channel. Harvey, thanks for the time, sir. Have a great week.
You too, guys. Yeah.
7:20 this morning. All the details on the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. That's about 45 minutes from right now. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up. Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico.
What up?
First of all, where's your Clipper song?
I had to write some other stuff first.
Come on, we're like 2 weeks into the season, man.
A week. We're six games in.
Oh, well, it'll get done.
Yeah, exactly. I had to ask, Chip, I'm glad you're here too, because you guys are in the Walking Dead-inspired band Daryl's Crossbow together.
That's right.
I had to ask, is Daryl's Crossbow, is that what's keeping you away from being able to do your Clipper song because you're too busy with your other band?
Well, let's see. I have three Daryl Crossbow songs and no Clipper song, so maybe.
When the gold is rolling, man, you just got to go with it.
When the inspiration strikes, right?
Right?
Yeah, I want to change it to Abraham's mustache.
That song.
Spinoff band.
Eugene's mullet.
When you go solo, you could be Eugene's mullet. So, for folks who weren't listening last week, this was a drunken idea that you guys were convinced was the greatest thing you'd ever thought of, and it was at Comic-Con this year. You decided, we're going to do a band that does all Walking Dead songs. And last week, we played a little bit of your first song, which I think is great, by the way, called Spoiler Alert, where you recap all the seasons of The Walking Dead so far. Let's hear a little bit of that, and then we're going to hear some of your new stuff.
Spoiler Alert! Spoiler Alert! Spoiler Alert! Spoiler Alert! Spoiler Alert!
Season 1!
Rick Wakes Up!
Shane, Benny, Laurie!
CDC goes boom! Kill Carl! Spoiler Alert!
Okay, I think you get the gist of that. And by the way,
Spoiler alert!
Am I not on? Is this thing on? Righteous bass solo going on there too, Chip. Very well done.
Oh, you know.
Although with Chip and the band, I think we're convinced it's going to break up, right?
Yeah, I think we broke up already.
Yeah. Yeah, so. All right, so what else do you have for us from Daryl's Crossbow?
Well, we have another song, which, you know, was a big, big, big scene in season 5, I believe, or 4, mm-hmm. Season 4, where no one could believe when Carol took out Lizzie. So we wrote a little song called Look at the Flowers.
Look at the Flowers, yeah, okay, which is the last thing that was said before the kid took it, boom, right to the back of the head. All right,
exactly.
Let's hear some of that.
Lizzie, look at the flowers, Lizzie, look at the flowers, Lizzie. Look at the flowers, Lizzie! Look at the flowers! Try to kill your sister to watch her turn! Try to kill your sister, you're gonna burn! Kill your sister, now she's dead! Can't put a bullet in the back of your head! Lizzie! Look at the flowers, Lizzie! Look at the flowers, Lizzie! Look at the flowers! Look at the flowers! Yeah! Lizzie!
That is very, A, terrible, but B, very psychedelic, man.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's what we were going for.
What's the band on when they record this music?
Everything.
Sweet.
Hey, Chip, you might know this. Doesn't child star Macaulay Culkin have a band, a theme band? Doesn't he do a band that only does songs about pizza?
No idea.
I'm pretty sure he should.
That sounds awesome.
Yes.
I think he's in a band, if I remember correctly. I don't have it in front of me. I think he's in a band where they play Velvet Underground songs, but they change all the lyrics so that they're about pizza. It's kind of a...
Dave, we should recruit...
I need to get my pizza costume and be in a video.
We should recruit him.
Yeah.
So, apparently, you can do a band about anything. All right. So, what's the third and final Daryl's Crossbow number?
Well, you know, in season 2... Everybody hated Carl. Well, we still hate Carl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest complaints was he was never in the house.
Every time they told him to stay put, he would just go and say F you and just do
his
thing.
Well, you know how teenagers are, man. Even in the zombie apocalypse, a teenager is not going to listen to his dad. Although last night, mercifully, a Carl-free episode, so you guys were pretty happy
about
that, right?
Yeah. Anytime Carl's not on the show, it's a great episode.
And I sing on this one, so you know it's going to be good.
All right, what's this one called?
So this is Chip's tribute to Stay in the House, Carl.
Stay in the House, Carl.
Walkers descend, it's time to defend. Where is Carl? Dick ran off again.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Stay in the house, Carl, stay in the house, Carl, stay in the house, Carl. Kill him, please. Stay in the house, Carl, stay in the house, Carl, stay in the house, Carl.
Well, actually, thanks for getting Dale killed. That beady-eyed guy was an asshole.
Bang!
Yeah!
And that's it. There you go.
I don't know if you heard Buffend, but was in there.
I thought Omar would be a pal and let me know if I had mispronounced anything. Nope. Just let it go.
Right. Yeah. That's very Primus-like, that song, isn't it? Don't you think?
I thought it was more like a Minor Threat, like...
Well,
you know.
It's no different than Primus's tribute to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's the same thing. That was my inspiration. So
now, have you gotten? I know that some of these, you know, put some of this audio up on the Kevin Bean Facebook page. Has there been any traction? Any offers to tour or play or anything like that? Or
all I'm saying is Acoustic Christmas lineup is announced next hour.
Well, I'm not sure
so.
That we have room for that. But I mean, or have the listeners soundly rejected you as they should?
Oh no, they love it. You know, it's rock and 100%. Roll. 100%, man. Rock and roll.
I love it. Well, Michael Cudlitz is probably listening on the way in. He joins us next hour from The Walking Dead, so we'll talk about that. Plus, all the details you need to know about the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. They're coming up next half hour right here on K-Rock. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. Next hour, our friend Michael Cudlitz is here from The Walking Dead and all the details you need on the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We're starting to ramp up, man. The show's going fast now, Ralph.
I got to tell you something. That
That mustache is impressive enough on television. But in person, it just takes on a life of its own.
Astonishing, isn't it?
It is. It sets you back on your heels. That's all I got to say.
What? And you're a man who knows from a good mustache.
I have rocked a substantial stash.
Yeah, you got a pretty powerful stash.
However, my stash pales in comparison to the monolithic facial hair that Mr. Cudlitz is currently hosting.
And the color, too, by the way, makes it even more exceptional. What's that look called? What's the facial hair name for that kind of mustache that kind of droops down all the way past both corners of your mouth? What's that called?
I think it's called the Village People. I think it's called the Leather Man. Well, I don't know. Handlebar? Would that be a handlebar? I don't know. I guess handlebar is out, though, right?
No, handlebar can go down.
What do you know? Why are you talking?
I grow stashes, man.
Why are you talking?
I know about mustaches.
Stop it. Turn off
the
microphone.
But I think the handlebar kind of loop-de-loops up a little bit, like the old-time, you know, guy who works at the Old West Bank. That's
guy. Well, maybe you should save this for your cutting-edge, in-depth interview with Michael Cudlitz.
Because he would know.
He would know.
Okay. By the way, we did learn on the show last night that that Abraham, Mr. Cudlitz's character, is dolphin smooth down there. We did learn that.
That phrase was trending on Twitter.
Yes.
After the episode.
All right. Big hour coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, here's Ralph.
Speaking of dolphin smooth, this has nothing to do with that. I just wanted to say it again. Led Zeppelin. The band Led Zeppelin. You may be familiar with Led Zeppelin. They're sort of iconic.
I think pretty famous.
I would
famous.
Say one of the five biggest bands of all time, maybe?
Now keep in mind, they're not all still with us. But the surviving members have once again received an offer to reform. Someone would like to get them together to perform on stage. A gentleman named Richard Branson. You familiar with Sir Richard Branson? He's got a few bucks in the bank.
The Virgin Empire?
That's right. He has offered Led Zeppelin to reform the low, low price of £500 million.
Wow.
Which, what would that translate into American dollars, roughly? 800 or so? $800
million? $800
million
for how much work,
though? For 35 concerts that would take place in three cities.
Okay, so basically, probably with travel in between, 6 weeks' work, maybe.
Roughly, I would think that's fair, yes.
How could they say no?
They have. Robert Plant said there's no chance of a reunion tour.
Wow.
That will not happen. He has made up his mind, and that's that.
How much does he hate Led Zeppelin songs that he wrote and sing? They're not asking him to go out there and do a Bieber set. They're asking him to do his song.
How much does he hate Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones?
Yeah.
Is the question.
Is that what it is?
I'm guessing. Has to be, right?
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, unless he just is a hardcore, I don't want to do anything to degrade the memory of what we were at our peak.
Who cares? F the memory. Where the sun don't shine. Give me my $800
million. $800 million.
Or split three ways, I guess.
Yeah, his takeaway would be still a significant chunk of cage. Amazing.
Yeah.
Unless he's 66 years old and just doesn't think he can sing those songs anymore.
Once again, who cares?
Don't care how bad the show is?
Cash the check. That's other people's problems. That's not your problem. If they're in the audience, they paid $400 for a ticket or whatever, they go, my God, he sounds awful. That's on you, sucker. $800 million. I would like to let Sir Richard Branson know right now that I will get on stage and sing Led Zeppelin songs for significantly less than $800 million.
It's very generous.
I'll do it for like $500 million.
We heard a few years ago, and I don't know if this was confirmed, that ABBA was offered $1 billion.
Yes.
For more dates, but still for a reformation tour.
And they too said no.
They said no, yeah. It's crazy times.
Madness. However, we do live in a golden age because the Love Boat cast got back together again. So, look, Led Zeppelin may not reunite, but the Love Boat crew has reunited.
Thank God.
Just this weekend they reunited. They got together to mark the 50th anniversary of Princess Cruises, the Princess Cruise Line. Of course, the Pacific Princess was their ship. And they all got back together again. Captain Steubing was there. Gopher, Julie, your cruise director, Doc, Isaac, your bartender, and that little crack whore that the little girl used to run around.
Huh.
They were all there, all together to christen one of the cruise line's new ships, the Regal Princess. Ah, if it was just the Regal Beagle, it'd be the perfect ship.
And they got like $40 each plus lunch.
I believe they did get a box of lunch and all the sunscreen they could apply out there on the Lido deck.
I bet you could get the cast of the Love Boat for Olivia's fifth birthday party if you wanted them, Ralph. It wouldn't cost you much.
And what 5-year-old wouldn't love the Love Boat cast to get back together again, really? Because she's just, why would I do that, Bean?
I'm just saying, that's how inexpensive it is and how easy it is to get the Love Boat cast. That's my point. They would do a children's birthday party.
I hope they do my birthday party. I've got one coming up this weekend, and I hope
they're
there.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
Yeah. By the way, they were joined by a bunch of other stars for the reunion. All people who had been on the Love Boat. Listen to this group. Dick Van Patten, Joyce DeWitt, Charlene Tilton, Jamie Farr, Florence Henderson, Marion Ross, Christy McNichol, Lonnie Anderson, Mackenzie Phillips, Adrian Zemed, Christopher Knight, Donnie Most, and my buddy Lorenzo Lamas were all there on hand.
So it was like a TV land on water.
It was like an actual episode of The Love Boat in real life. I couldn't have been more excited. I wish I had been there. Had I known, I would have attended. I would have booked a cruise. And I said, Isaac, hook me up.
That's right.
Give me one of those drinks you make. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Miranda Lambert is 31 years old today. DJ Diplo turns 36. Walter Goggins. We first fell in love with him on The Shield. Then we fell in love with him on Sons of Anarchy. Actually, we never really loved him on either of those shows. He always plays a bad guy.
Yeah.
43 years old today. Warren G is 44. Ellen Pompeo turns 45. Tracy Morgan is 46 years old today. Continued better health, Tracy. And Sinbad celebrates his 58th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
TV's Batman, Adam West, joins us 1 hour from right now here on The Kevin Bean Show, and Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. That's all on the way. Michael Cudlitz from The Walking Dead in a half an hour. And we're about 15 minutes away or less from details on the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert, the moment you have been waiting for. First, though.
Yes.
Lisa May.
Yes.
True or false?
Yes.
If it's on the internet, it must be true.
Yes, that's true.
That is true. That's what I think, too.
Yeah, of course.
Well, apparently, this story is in dispute by some people. It is on a website called The Inquisitor. They claim it was originally written on a website called Huzzlers, H-U-Z-L-E-R-S, which sounds reputable.
Absolutely.
That Starbucks has been including semen in their coffee for the past 3 months.
Oh, is it fall taste?
Apparently, you can get the pumpkin spice or you can get the man cup. I don't know what they're calling it, but samples were found in the back of stores, were allegedly added to beverages for more flavor. Again, this is according to, quote, a website, end quote. Now,
and
the rest of us.
Let me just say, Bean, my skin has never looked better.
You do look, you glow.
I glow.
Now, most of us would look at this and go, you know what? Starbucks, pretty reputable company, a lot of rules and regulations that they follow, a lot of oversight, pretty hard to pull something like this off. I'm maybe going to step back and not believe that with all my full faith. Not so much this man who is making the rounds. Reverend Dr. James Manning from the World Missionary Church is convinced that it is true based on it appearing on the internet, and he is doing interviews like this one to rail against Starbucks.
It was a big article about an investigation into Starbucks using male semen and putting it into the blends of coffees that they sell. I mean, can you imagine it? And I believe that they were doing that. You know, Coca-Cola got started at, 100 years ago by using cocaine. They were actually using cocaine.
That's true.
The deal is that Starbucks has been, what's the word I'm looking for? Legally accused of, this is the word, legally accused of using male semen in their lattes. So when you drink Starbucks coffee, it's right there. See it right there. I'm not making this up. Inquisitor is a reputable online service. So my question is, where are they getting all this semen from?
First of all, you don't have to order cream with your coffee, first of all. So you're saving time and money right there.
But it's a latte bean.
Second,
comes with milk.
That's right, it does. Second of all, how is Inquisitor a reputable website? Based on what? Based on that they have a website? Because you can't just put up a website unless you're reputable. All right, let's hear the Reverend Doctor bring it home.
You know, I mean, you ever go to the doctor and he tells you that? Well, I don't want to go there, but you understand what they tell you, and you bring back the cup. Well, my suspicion is that they're getting this semen from sodomites.
Don't believe the internet. Reverend Dr. James Manning, World Missionary Church, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hello.
It's just not true.
No.
It's just a stupid,
it is true.
It's a stupid website where they make up stories to get clicks. They're just making it up.
They may be getting clicks, but they're not getting chicks. I bet you don't understand.
I really don't understand. Why do you believe this horrible, horrible story that somebody made up about Starbucks that clearly isn't true?
First of all, it's not made up. It's on the internet.
Right, well, that's my point.
Everyone can read it and find out the truth. If it were not for the internet, how would we know what was truly going on behind the scenes in these situations?
Okay, there are a lot of things on the internet that are true. I'm not saying everything on the internet is fake, but I'm saying some things are fake, and you need to be a little bit more discerning as a consumer.
Coca-Cola started 100 years ago using cocaine.
Absolutely,
yes,
true.
100
yes.
years ago.
100 years ago.
Cocaine in their Coca-Cola.
Right. And then they stopped.
Making you want to drink more Coca-Cola.
Right. And then it became an illegal drug, and they stopped using it.
Once
and that's all verified.
Once they discovered they were using that, then it was. And now that we've discovered that they're using the semen of sodomites in lattes, maybe now they'll stop that.
Is that supposed to make us want to drink more?
It make me want to have more sodomite sex then.
All right, so
that's
how would this...
using it to spread their sodomite agenda.
How would this work, Reverend?
Look,
how...
hey, here's a latte I got from Starbucks, right? Look, Oh, that's delicious. That is a delicious latte.
Okay.
And now I want to sing show tunes.
That's not how it works, first
let
of all.
Let it go.
You can't drink coffee.
Can't hold it back anymore.
You can't drink coffee.
Let
don't
it
turn...
go. Let it go.
Reverend.
Turn away.
Where do you think Starbucks is finding the sodomites in order to load up these cups in all their stores around the world?
Just look around you. Everywhere you look, there's a sodomite. Hup, there's one over there.
This doesn't make any sense at all.
I can tell from the assless chaps he's wearing.
You know you sound ridiculous when you say stupid things like this.
Have a little more latte.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, sure enough, now I find myself grooming myself downstairs.
We're not interested.
Dolphin smooth down there.
Well, isn't everybody these days? We don't want to hear about this, though, Reverend. Please stop.
I have manscaped. And I want to kiss a man.
Okay.
I think
you know
I
what?
Want to kiss a man.
I think you wanted to anyway.
How
yes.
dare you?
That's what I think.
How dare you, lady?
Mm-hmm. I think that's what's going on here.
Oh, I'm going to have some more latte now.
Okay. Then we got to go. We got a big announcement.
Oh, that's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that Richard Simmons, he's good. I'd like to sweat with the oldies with him.
Sure you would. All right, it's finally time. Lisa, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm
Muggs,
excited.
You ready?
I'm ready!
Hit it, Steve!
Yes, it's Christmas once more, and above all, the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night 1, Saturday, December 13th, the Forum.
It starts with
Linkin Park.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter. Everything you say to me, I become so
Incubus. Rise Against.
Don't hold me. No, that's why she said I don't hate you, but I just do the same. Nothing matters but the pain when you're alone.
The 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Royal Blood. Politics.
What would you like for Christmas?
Walk the Moon.
perplex, cockhead and punk.
Fallout Boy.
The 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Bush. System of a Down. The 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, Night 1.
K-Rock Street Team on sale Friday at noon. Details at krock.com. Proceeds benefit para los niños.
Listen every hour on the hour from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. to win tickets.
K-Rock.
That is what up for Saturday, December 13th at the Forum. Night number one in alphabetical order again for you is Bush, Fall Out Boy, Incubus, Linkin Park, New Politics, Rise Against, one of the best new bands of the year, Royal Blood, System of a Down, their long-awaited return, and Walk the Moon. That's all night one. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale is this Friday at noon. Now, you know we're not going to stop there because now here's night two for Sunday, the 14th of December at the Forum.
My name is Bono. What you're about to hear, no one has ever heard before.
Indeed, truly, a very, very special feeling around here. Thank you for having us here.
With the wave of a magic wand, Hollywood turns into Santa Claus Lane.
The 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night 2, Sunday, December 14th, the Forum. For the first time ever. Weezer.
The 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Modest Mouse. Tears for Fears.
The 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
The children are tucked in their beds waiting for
Interpol.
We smile,
Alt J. Vance Joy.
Wanna go for a ride.
Smashing Pumpkins.
The approach of the holiday season gets a gala send-off in Movie Town, USA.
Imagine Dragons.
The 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night 2. K-Rock Street Team on sale Friday at noon. Proceeds benefit Al Rubin Jr. Heritage Center.
Listen every hour on the hour from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. to win tickets.
K-R-O-O-O-Q! Okay, mind blown right.
Dude.
There. There's your night number two, Sunday, December 14th at the Forum, the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. And the thing about night two is it's like it's a distillation of the last 30 years of K-Rock. Bands that came to prominence in the 80s like Tears for Fears and Smashing Pumpkins in the 90s, and then all the way up to today with bands like Imagine Dragons and Alt-J. And you know how long we wanted to have U2 headline one of our shows,
yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
When we're in the meeting, not that Kevin and Bean have anything to do with the meetings, but when the suits are in the meetings and they go, all right, who's up first on the wish list? Well, we'll try you too.
Yeah.
It never happens. This year, it happens. And ladies and gentlemen from Dublin on the phone right now, let's welcome back to the program, Bono.
Yeah.
What's up, Bono?
Good morning, Los Angeles. How are you?
Well, right now we're just bursting at the seams with excitement. I can't believe your little band is going to play our little concert, man. This is you've just made our whole year, dude. Seriously.
Well, you know, who doesn't love a birthday party? And It's no ordinary birthday party. This is where it all began for our band. We know that. You are the Big Bang. K-Rock started you two out in a station called WBCN on the East Coast. Without you, we'd be nothing.
Well, I don't think that's true, but we'll take it in this instance. And we're grateful to have you on the bill, headlining an amazing night. Since the last time we had you on, Bono, which was right around the time the new record came out, word has come out, according to the researchers at Rolling Stone, that U2 is the longest-running signed band in the world with no membership change and no long breaks. I'm sure you saw that. Is that possible that you guys have been together longer than anybody else that's out there making music?
Well, that's the reason, actually, I called in this morning was to explain that last night, after a rough night at the European MTV Awards, Larry Mullen quit the band.
Nope.
And we were so, you know, it's impossible. Relationships are impossible. It's defying gravity, whether it's, you know, your mates, you know, that you've grown up with, or college friends, or your missus. Relationships are the hardest thing to hold on to, but they're the most important things if you can. And we've been through a lot together. You know, it's not all been the Waltons. It gets rough when U2 makes a record, but I don't want to be with anybody else making music. And these are great men. You know, they were boys when I met them.
It's a beautiful sentiment. The fact that you can be teenagers, though, and grow together in the same direction with all the artistic decisions that you have to make, that's what is remarkable. The fact that there hasn't been somebody...
Grow might be an exaggeration. but, you know, I think you join a band to stay in your adolescence. And there's a part of us that is still a high school band. There's something... The thing about rock and roll, or the thing that separates it from pop, or the... Maybe this is a bit too big a generalization. It's never stopped me before. But there's a thing when people play great bands, you know, chemistry is really a part of it. And there's a thing that happens when certain musicians play together that's kind of alchemical. You know, it's not craft, or it's not something you can learn or rehearse. But we just had something, even when we were really crap. And, you know, we had some kind of magic, I will say, even when the songs were shite and the playing was shite, there was, you know, there's an expression we use. Sometimes we go and see a band and they look right and, you know, they've got the right gear on and the songs are kind of, and you go, they've got everything but it. Well, with U2, it was the only thing we had. We were really not very good in so many respects. And if there's anyone listening in that situation, you know, bands or artists that are feeling like they have magic, but they don't quite have all the rest will follow.
And it's a fascinating now to see, you know, the tour that you've been doing, the press that you've been doing on Songs of Innocence, where it seems like even though the group's been together for over 35 years, in some ways you feel like a young band again. You feel like this was a very personal record and you guys are coming out swinging and you're not resting on your laurels and you're current, and that's important to you. And that's, I guess, one of the reasons why you're able to keep going is because you're of the now. You're of whatever year it is, you're in that year. You're not still the band from 1980.
Yeah, well, insecurity is your best security as an artist, I think. And, you know, the attitude that you give, and I can be a bit of a big mouth, and I know that, and I can see myself, you know, get put on a lot of front. But whenever you see a band doing that, you know that there's some sort of vulnerability that they are protecting. And our music, it comes from a very raw place, and never rawer than on Songs of Innocence. And so whenever we do that to ourselves and we make very personal songs, we tend to get quite, you know, we put on a bit of attitude to protect it. And we don't take anything for granted. There's no sense of entitlement with these men. They're so excited to be played on the radio. They're so excited to be on K-Rock. They're thrilled that people might be still interested in us. And it's an interesting phenomenon that's happening, I think, in music outside of just pure pop music, where people kind of don't care about where music, you know, what era. They just, there's certain sounds and certain feelings and a certain authenticity that people care about, and more than where you came from. So it's it's interesting because rock and roll originally, when it started out, was very us against them as regards generations. But now, you know, I've met people who are 15 and they might as well be 75. They're so boring. And then you meet people who are, you know, who are 40 and they're like acting like, you know, they're kids. And it doesn't matter. It's about the imagination and the art form. It's, if you were making movies or... It wouldn't matter that you've been around for a while. If you're a novelist or a poet, it wouldn't matter. It has mattered up until this point, but maybe with you two, it has stopped mattering. And that's true, and people can take us for who we are on this collection of songs. That is a big compliment to pay us, and I thank you for it.
This is the voice of Bono from the band U2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are headlining night number 2 of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. You can get all the details about both nights at krock.com. Bono, when we spoke the week the album came out, you said that one of the things you guys were toying with was doing a bunch of acoustic sets, maybe even as part of a tour where you might do an electric night one night and then come back the next night and do an acoustic set. Have you thought any more about how you plan to present this album to the world when you go out on tour?
Yeah, we're excited. We're looking at how to do it. You know, we've always tried to do something different, and we've got some interesting ideas we're playing with. And Rick Rubin, who was a real influence on this album, although he didn't officially produce any tracks, was a real presence on it, has always been challenging us about playing more acoustically or writing songs that you could just play, you know, on a street corner if you were a busker. And he said, you know, kind of, I dare you, you know, because with the U2 sound and Edge's guitar rig, there's a sort of orchestration that comes with our songs. And Rick was saying, what would it be like to just hear things that are just raw? So when we put out this album with iTunes, we also put out an album on physical release where we have acoustic versions of those songs. And some people prefer them, which is interesting. And we've been going around the world playing them, and we're going to play certainly a few. We might turn up the heat a little bit because you're in the Forum now at this Christmas, your birthday party. But but I think we'll certainly play some of them stripped down. And that's a, you know, that's a new thing for us. We were never a band that learned songs like that or wrote songs like that. We were always improvising in the studio. But these songs, I think, they stand up like that. I hope so.
That's interesting. That version that you and the Edge did with the Edge on piano for Every Breaking Wave over the weekend for the MTV thing was beautiful, by the way. I hope we get to see that. How uncomfortable are you at a show like that where you're on between Ariana Grande and Nicki Minaj?
You know, it's not our natural habitat. I always remember, I remember meeting Bruce Springsteen when we were kids. Like, we just started out. He was like, be careful with the television, you know, be careful, you know. I was like, why? And he said, well, they can turn you up and they can turn you down. They can go off and, you know, put on a coffee in the middle while you're just, you know, opening up. And it is tricky for us. And I remember there was a big TV show years ago called Top of the Pops in the UK, and everyone was just dying to get on it. We got on it. And our song went down the charts the next day. So we're not like, we're more of a live band. But what we did at the MTV Awards, if people watch it, I'm sure they can probably find it, is we just stripped things right down. And I just tried to step into the song. And it was interesting because just as I was stepping into the song, Nicki Minaj was saying, and now my new album's coming out, My Little Pink Friend, on whatever date. And I was like, it was just a moment, you know, it was just like, okay. And I realized that I like pop music, and I grew up on pop music as well as rock and roll, and I'm not snobbish about that. But I knew that we then had to get inside that song. And when I get inside that song, by the way, it's a hard one to get out of. It's a very, very emotional trip, Every Breaking Wave. And that piano version that we played last night, if anyone wants to check it out, it's worth
it. It's great.
Something happened.
It's terrific. Yeah, we'll put that up at KROQ.com and the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, too. Listen, Bono, we're out of time. We'll have a chance to chat more next month. But let me just recap briefly. The weekend that is going to be the 25th annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas. Saturday and Sunday, December 13th and 14th at the Forum, our new home. Night one features Bush, Fall Out Boy, Incubus, Linkin Park, New Politics, Rise Against, Royal Blood, System of a Down, and Walk the Moon in alphabetical order. And for the same, night two, Alt-J, Imagine Dragons, Interpol, Modest Mouse, Smashing Pumpkins, Tears for Fears, U2, Vance Joy, and Weezer. Exclusive KROQ Street Team on sale is this Friday at noon. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Bono, thanks for calling in. We'll see you next month, my friend.
You are something. That's a speedy collection. Interpol and Smashing Pumpkins. That's enough reason for me to be there. Thanks a lot,
everyone.
It's
going to be a fun night. We'll see you then, Bono. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. U2 on KROQ 106.7 KROQ. They are one of the many acts playing night number two of the 25th annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Get the details at KROQ.com and tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. Michael Cudlitz from The Walking Dead. How's it feel to have Bono open for you?
Who's that? What is this U2 you speak of?
That guy.
Never heard of him.
Talk when you were waiting to get in here to do your interview.
I will wait all day to listen to that gentleman talk.
How you been, man?
Fantastic. How are you?
You're such a great actor, and we've loved you for so long and had you on for numerous projects. What's it like now that all anybody wants to talk about is the ridiculous hair and mustache on your face?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. You know what I'm talking about. That bright red hair and that crazy mustache.
I'm sort of torn. I think it's funny to a degree that people sort of think that people who don't like it or don't understand it think that I sort of came up with this. Like I somehow invented the bright red hair and the mustache, and why did I make these choices? And the people who know the comics understand. It is actually torn directly from the color copy of the black and white graphic novel. This is how he's drawn, literally,
right,
in the words of
Jessica Rabbit.
So blame Kirkman.
Right.
We're one of the artists.
But you, in real life, though, when you're not filming, when you're home with your family on the weekend, you kind of walk around.
Why don't you back off, buddy?
I'm just saying.
Already,
you walk
when you're
with
at
that.
Home, what is this? Stop. Yeah. Yes, I do. There's no escaping it. There's no setting down the crossbow. There's no taking off the dreadlocks. There's just red.
This is it. Just deal with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Abraham had a great episode last night. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. If you're like Lisa May and you just started the episode and you weren't able to finish it, we got a little bit of his backstory. Now, I don't read the comics, but I know you did, Michael, to prepare for this. How similar is what we saw last night to what played out in the books?
It's pretty close. When I first was hired on the show, I asked Scott Gimple, who's now our showrunner and kind of steers the ship for the TV show, I asked him if it was important for me to go back and read the comics. Was there anything there? Or because the show is so different than the comics, should I avoid it? He said, no, go back and read. There's a lot of stuff in there that the emotional weight of what happens will be the same. We're not sure if we're going to exactly do the story exactly the same, but the emotional weight of what he's carrying with him will be the same. And ultimately, we pretty much mirrored what happened in the comic books, if not even suggested, you know, it. We actually did it. So the idea of his family being attacked and then taking vengeance on those that attacked his family. His family finally sees him operate as a soldier, which are things that your family's not supposed to see you do.
Yeah.
You come home from war. War is not at home, typically.
Yeah, that was powerful, man. And you can understand the woman and child reaction to seeing what daddy does.
You can
understand where that comes from. And you know, there are so many things that happen on The Walking Dead that are parallels to real life, the things that people really go through. I mean, that's a real chasm,
absolutely,
you know, in families like that. That must have been very intense for you to play as well, I would imagine. I mean, to summon that kind of rage.
It was. And the woman who played the actor, the actress who played my wife, she didn't say anything in the episode, but she was terrific, as were the children. We're really, really lucky down there. We worked with some really amazing people who are really dedicated and put everything into it. And it shows, you know, it's all on screen.
In the event of a zombie apocalypse, the world is going to need people like Abraham who are clear-headed to the extent that you're a guy with a mission and you're going to get that mission done and you're not just sitting around waiting for somebody else to give you orders. I mean, you definitely need powerful people like Abraham and Rick.
Can somebody tell him it's actually just a TV show?
But I'm saying in the event of an actual emergency, you need somebody who's going to step up and say, follow me, I will lead. Not everybody can sit around waiting. For, you can't run a society like that on consensus.
No, no. Every culture, everything needs a leader. You know, and certainly in a zombie apocalypse, leaders would be more important than ever.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Michael Cudlitz is here on the Kevin Bean Show from The Walking Dead, which, of course, airs Sunday nights on AMC. Ralph has generously offered to give up his time on the Showbiz Beat this hour, Michael, because you're here, and we want to spend a little bit more time with you. And we got to talk about that jackass Eugene when we return. Oh. You in?
Well, thank you, Ralph.
All right. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Michael Cudlitz in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is Abraham on The Walking Dead. I can call you Cuddles, right? That's what your friends call you, is Cuddles, Mike?
Yeah, apparently, that's what somebody started calling me last night.
We talked about the hair up top. How'd you feel about Dolphin Smooth being trending last night on Twitter after that episode?
My favorite. If you see the memes, you'll know why.
It's awesome.
Yes.
Let's talk about Eugene, who, by the way, I had never seen the actor Josh McDermott until The Talking Dead last night. He is funny, that dude.
Yeah, he's very funny.
He's a really terrific. Funny guy and a really good actor because there's no one who doesn't hate Eugene with the heat of a thousand suns.
Yeah, pretty much.
Spoiler alert here if you didn't watch last night's Walking Dead. Last night was not only the backstory on how Abraham got so effed up, but we also got a little insight into what drives Eugene. Let's talk a little bit about that, Michael. What do you think of his revelation that he made the whole thing up about how he was going to save the world?
Well, just because myself and Josh have spoken of this, I'll talk a little bit about it because it's his thing. But, something like this happens and everybody uses whatever skills they have to stay alive. And when you don't have too many skills, but you're smart, you lie about stuff. You know, you come up with a situation that's going to best suit you. And that's what he apparently has done.
And did you feel that Abraham and even some of the other survivors were willing to believe it as unlikely as it sounded just because what's the downside in hope, right?
Exactly.
There's very little, there's very little other way out.
Absolutely. You know, we in life, you look the other way at lots of things, you know, if it's going to serve your purposes or benefit you in some way, because it is, what is the alternative? We prove that he's a liar and then we have nothing. Or why not buy into this lie? Maybe there is hope, that something that we can grab onto, something that can pull us forward. I choose hope. I think most people would choose hope in that situation.
One of the most fascinating things for me about the universe of The Walking Dead is that we're so used to being connected to everyone in the world all the time, always. Mm-hmm. We don't even know if Washington, D.C. exists anymore, right. Much less if there are people alive, much less if there are people who are alive who are working on the problem. Just don't know till you get there.
Well, and the information, the travel, everything. It's taken us a year and a half to get from Houston to Atlanta.
Right.
You know, so it's not that far away.
It's like we've rolled back the clock like 300 years, basically,
in terms of what people know.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the rest of the group is 15 miles away, but it could be a lifetime.
I want to play a clip from last night's show because I thought this was really powerful. And you played it so beautifully, Michael, because Abraham is having a nervous breakdown when he realizes the only reason he gets up in the morning is to get Eugene to Washington. That's his mission. He's a soldier and he needs something to do. And when he realizes that that's not going to happen, listen to the little tantrum that you threw.
Mission hasn't changed.
Devil's advocate, nothing more. We smashed to a stop hard. We spent a lot of time rolling things out of the road.
Church is just 15 miles back there.
No, we don't stop. We don't go back. We're at war, and retreat means we lose. We don't go back!
Hey, you okay?
I'm fit as a damn fiddle.
We are going with you. I just need to know you're good.
This is how things stop. I can't afford that right now. The world can't afford it. Listen, I took a pretty hard shot to the sack with that crash. I am stressed and depressed to see that ride die, but if you say we're rolling on, I'm good.
We're rolling on.
That was
I'm going to rub some dirt on it and walk it off.
That was a lot of walkers up ahead, Michael.
Yeah, it was a lot of walkers.
That was like driving
a good shot to the sack. We'll just rub some dirt on it and walk it off.
Let's talk about it, our remaining moment here with the great Michael Cudlitz from TV's The Walking Dead, Sunday nights on AMC. Let's talk about the logistics of, and I know the guys always make fun of me when I call it sexy time, but the logistics of sexy time in the zombie universe is you just, You just hit it whenever you can. Hygiene be damned. Privacy be damned. You just go for it. Birth control.
Like, yeah. Like, all, everything you just said. Yeah, you hit it when you hit it. What else are you going to do? I spoke about this last night. I didn't understand the whole thing with Tyrese, with the courtship and the whole, you don't know, you're at war and you literally any moment could be your last and it's date time. No, it's like you're gonna tell that story in reverse. You're going to start at the end
right,
and then see if we can figure something out.
So your move would be, look, we may not be alive for a second date, so let's make the first date count.
Yeah, except all those words you just used in the beginning to clutter up all that time.
Right.
That wouldn't be there.
Skip all that.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, that in the universe of what we've seen on The Walking Dead, half of the hot chicks in the world are on your bus. I mean, you drew a pretty long straw there, my friend.
Yeah, we got a lot of beautiful women on our show.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Beautiful, all intelligent, right, so, funny women. Yes.
You still have the hair and mustache, so I assume you're heading to Georgia today and you're still alive on The Walking Dead? You're still filming? You're still working?
Sure.
Or you're the most convincing liar in the world. We already got burned by Gareth this season, goddammit.
Yeah, well, we're paid to lie.
Yeah. And you're very good at it. Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. It's TV's biggest drama, The Walking Dead. Mr. Cutlitz, you know we love you. Thanks so much for coming in, dude.
Thanks for having me, guys.
System of a Down here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's been about a year and a half, maybe a little more, since they performed live. You'll be able to see them night number one of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show, Saturday night, December 13th at the Forum, along with Fall Out Boy and Incubus and Linkin Park and Rise Against and Walk the Moon and so much more. Night two includes Imagine Dragons, also Interpol, Smashing Pumpkins, and a little band called U2. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. Get all the details at KRock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
It's crazy. That show is crazy.
It's an insane lineup. Yeah, I mean, it's cool, nights. and I'm sure part of it is, hey, it's been 25 years, and let's really celebrate. Let's blow it out. But it's going to be great.
I just wish I could go. I just can't go.
What do you mean you can't go?
No, I'll be sitting home with my Blu-ray box set of 1960s Batman TV series.
you're allowed to just pause your Blu-ray and go out to the show.
No.
Well,
nothing else matters.
I know it is something that all Batman fans have been waiting decades for. In fact, it's being called the most anticipated home entertainment release of all time. Batman, the complete television series on DVD and Blu-ray, available everywhere tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, the Cape Crusader himself, the great Adam West, TV's Batman, joins us on the Kevin Amici Show. Hello, Mr. West.
Lordy, 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 it's nice to talk to you guys.
How you feeling, sir? I know you were a little under the weather. We missed you at Kamikaze.
Yeah, I was. I did something I wouldn't ask my worst enemy to do, the Penguin. I was lifting some barrels around, and I screwed up my back. But you know what? I'm ready now. I'm ready for you.
Good.
Tomorrow's the big day, sir. The complete series finally available tomorrow on Blu-ray and DVD. It's a day we some of us thought would never happen.
Well, I had the same feeling for a long time. You know, I'm glad that Warner's Home Video and Fox and everyone else got together to do this because the dweebs, I'm sorry.
Bat fans. We prefer to know them as bat fans.
You lovely bat fans. You've been asking me for years, over and over, where is it? Well, here it is, Ralph, and thank you. And Bean and Lisa for talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course. And here's what I love about it is we've waited a long time for it. And this isn't just some cheap-ass Korean dub, you know, that's going to look crappy and sound crappy. I mean, this is all the bells and whistles. This is the best the show has ever looked. And some of these extras that you have on the sets just kind of blow my mind. And I want to ask you about a couple of them, Adam. For instance, the Adam West photo book with never-before-seen images from Adam West's private archives. Tell me about that.
Yes, and James Tooley, a director, producer, writer, who did starring Adam West, you know, the documentary that's winning some awards out there, with you, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
You're in it.
Yes.
He did a wonderful job with this documentary. I didn't want to do it, but doggone it, it's just done so well about family and my career and my values. It's really good. We also have Adam West naked as an extra, which, of course, for those who are more salacious of intent, No, Adam West revealing all you need to know about everything backstage with every episode that was ever done. But the most important thing is what you're talking about. It's the quality of that Blu-ray DVD.
Yeah, I was lucky enough, Adam, to get a box set a little bit early, and I've been watching it over the weekend, and I'll tell you something, the quality, the sound, and the visual, it's better than it probably looked when it first aired in 66.
Well, this is my birthday gift to you, Ralph.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you, buddy.
Ralph, let me ask you about something that you talked about at Comic-Con when we were there together over the summer, and that's the Bats of the Round Table, which is another special feature on the Blu-ray and DVD.
Right.
Yeah, we sit down with Adam. It's me and Kevin Smith. Jim Lee from DC Comics, actor Phil Morris, and myself, and we sit down at a dinner table with Adam, and we talk about the series. And I had a chance to watch it over the weekend. It's so entertaining, and we had such a good time doing it. I was glad that it came out as well as it did.
Oh, I was glad to get out of there. You guys are so boring.
He did leave us with a check. He did leave us with a check. I know that much.
I know. I really stiffed you, didn't I?
Yes, you did. And also,
it was wonderful, Ralph. Thank you. It was really fun for me.
And, of course, there's a little bit there, too, on the bonus features where Adam takes a little tour of my memorabilia collection, and that made the cut as well on the DVD and the Blu-ray set, and that is tremendous fun for me to have you there at the house.
I'm so sorry I stole what I did. I'll give it back.
Well, if anyone can steal it, I think it's you.
This is the voice of actor Adam West here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about the release, finally, of Batman the Complete Series, available everywhere tomorrow. Adam, I wanted to ask you, you kind of made entertainment history about 5 years ago when you went down into the basement and cut commentary tracks for all the episodes. Of course, you didn't have the rights to release the episodes at that time, but you were able to release you watching the episodes and commenting and talking about. Were they able to incorporate some of that into this set as well, since you'd already done it?
Yes, that's very exciting. Adam West Naked is, like you say, incorporated in the DVD.
Yeah.
And so you're able to get that as kind of a bonus.
And there's so many ways you can get this stuff. You can get it season by season. You can get the whole box set together. And I guess BatmanOnDVD.com is probably the best way to go, right, to get it?
Yeah, this is my Christmas gift to you people.
Yeah. It's really great, and the Adam West Naked DVD really is fun because Adam gives you all the behind-the-scenes stuff for every episode, all 120 of them. It's just very entertaining.
Ralph, have you seen that documentary that you're in?
I have, sir. Starring Adam West, it really turned out great.
It did, and you know, you were very nice to be in it.
You know, it's my pleasure, sir.
Well, you said some good things about Burt Ward.
Yes, I did. I always liked him.
Well, this is great, Adam. I'm glad that we're able to spread the word to our listeners that their wait is finally over. It's time for Batman the Complete Series. This is the definitive statement on the series. I mean, you've written a book, and now these are out on DVD. Has everything been said about the original Batman TV series that can be done at this point, Adam? Are we caught up?
Pretty much, I think. Well, there is one other thing, but I won't tell you this morning.
Oh, come on. Give us a little something.
No. You're going to have to beg. Maybe your next birthday.
All right, next year.
All right. Well, wait a year. Ladies and gentlemen, the only Batman that really matters, the great Adam West, on the show. Thanks, Adam. Have a great Christmas if we don't talk to you. We appreciate all your love and support over the years.
Thanks, guys.
Smashing Pumpkins on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. They are one of the bands playing night number 2 of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. That'll be Sunday, December 14th at the Forum. Longtime Pumpkins fan Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network just joined us.
Hey, everybody. I honestly thought when I walked in this morning, because I did not hear Bono on earlier, I'm late, I'm on the phone, I'm getting here, I'm weaving through traffic. I walk in and Dave hands me the list, and I honestly thought it was a prank. Like, it was because when you two, Tears for Fears, Pumpkins, all that on that second
right.
night, and not that the first night is bad,
right?
In any way whatsoever, it's ridiculous. I honestly thought he was just making up names, and he just wanted to see my reaction.
Like, this is the wish list, right?
Right.
This can't be real. Right.
Exactly. And Anyway, no, good job.
Look, I don't want to spend all day patting ourselves on the back, but there are a lot of good people here at K-Rock who work real hard all year long to
good
put
this gosh.
Show together, and I think they've outdone themselves. Night number one is alphabetically Bush, Fall Out Boy, Incubus, Linkin Park, New Politics, Rise Against, Royal Blood, System of a Down, Walk the Moon. Night two, Alt-J, Imagine Dragons, Interpol, Modest Mouse, Smashing Pumpkins, Tears for Fears, U2, Vance Joy, and a little band called Weezer. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale this Friday at noon. Details at krock.com.
That is ridiculous. Well done.
We have a lead-in, I guess, since we're talking about music, Andrew, to something that happened over the weekend that involves the NFL as well. Justin Bieber did what?
All right. I don't want to break 12-year-olds' hearts out there, but, you know, obviously we pile on Justin Bieber.
12-year-olds have way moved on from Justin Bieber. Believe me, they don't care about it. They're all about One Direction now.
Okay, you remember, what's his name? Johnny Manziel was hanging out with Bieber. Over the summer a little bit. He posted a picture of him and Bieber and Usher and Floyd and anyone else in media you don't like, I believe.
Right.
I believe Chris Brown might have been in there. I mean,
Chris Jenner.
Everybody was in the photo.
OJ.
Everybody was there. Every Kardashian, they were all there. Anyway, I digress. And then you know what happened to Johnny Manziel. So Justin Bieber, during the college football game Saturday, Twitter started going nuts. Twitter being a person, of course. Because the Steelers, Cam Hayward, Matt Spaeth, a bunch of Steelers started posting photos with Bieber. Mm-hmm. Turns out, and I don't know if he's a Steeler fan or whatever it is, or if he just happened to be staying at their hotel, or somebody knew somebody and he showed up. They were in New York, and Bieber shows up at their Saturday night Bible study, the chapel that every team has. You're not required to go, but a bunch of guys do it the night before the game. Bieber showed up at their Bible study.
That's bizarre.
So I don't know. I don't know.
Was he invited? Did
he
crash? We don't know.
No one really gave the details because the punchline here is that after they tweeted out photos and after they became, you know, the butt of every internet joke and memes and scorn and all this, you know, snark on Twitter, they went out there against a team they should have run off the field by 35 points. The 1-8 New York Jets, who had not won since opening day. The Steelers had just put up 80 points in 2 weeks. They were supposed to put up 50 points on them, and they lost.
You're not saying there's a connection, but maybe there is.
I'm saying you get what you deserve sometimes. And it's not a Bieber curse, but if you lay down with dogs, sometimes,
you get fleas.
Yeah.
Andrew,
anyway.
Look, you hang out with a lot of NFL players. Why would any of them want to be photographed with Justin Bieber?
No one
is less hip than he is.
I don't know. I don't know if they're looking for Twitter followers or maybe their girlfriends like or maybe their kids like Bieber. I don't know what it was. But three guys, a tight end, a defensive lineman, and a linebacker, tweeted photos
with Justin Bieber. That was ill-advised.
You know what happened?
All right, we got a lot of ground we want to cover. Before the break, I have to ask you about this. And sadly, Kevin is not here today. He's out.
Is this why he's not here?
I don't know. His Arizona Cardinals won again. They're 8-1 now. The best record in
They're 8-1.
The best record in the NFL. But they lost their quarterback. Now, when I saw this happen in real time, I thought the same thing you thought, Andrew. The same thing every NFL fan thought, which was, I hope he dotted his I's and crossed his T's on that $50 million 3-year deal a couple of days ago. Because what's up?
Carson Palmer has, now you want the shocker, or maybe not the shocker, maybe the irony, or whatever, twice in his career now, signed ridiculous contracts and blown his knee out in the next game.
Really?
This happened last time? The injury happened last time?
He was in Cincinnati in 05 when the Steeler defensive lineman Kimo von Olhoffen crawled across the ground and shredded his knee. I mean, it actually led to the rules being changed about how low you can hit a quarterback. So he had just signed a huge deal then, shredded his knee, took a year to come back, obviously.
It was never the same, really, until this year, right?
He was playing on some bad teams. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He had some good seasons. He eventually forced his way out, went to the Raiders. Everyone sucks with the Raiders. He ended up with the Cardinals, and this was it. He was carrying this team towards certainly a playoff run and maybe a Super Bowl.
Let me put it another way. Most of us were surprised to see Carson Palmer be a big-time quarterback again, right? We thought his best days were behind him
until
this season. This was a real surprise.
He played well last year, but, no one thought they were going to be 8-1 this year.
And then, so what do we know? Do we know anything new since yesterday when we saw him carted off the field? We heard it was possibly ACL?
Yeah, it's not official, but all indications. I have not heard a single report, put it this way, that think, well, you know, there's some hope. Most people say it was an ACL. He's likely out for the year, which means they have to use Drew Stanton, who's a nice backup, but he's a backup for a reason. 5-10 in his career as a starter, and he now is the quarterback in all likelihood for the remainder of the season and maybe, you know, deep into the playoffs potentially. Now, backup quarterbacks have won Super Bowls before. There's this guy named Tom Brady that built a pretty big house in Brentwood.
Whatever
Tom
happened
Brady
to him,
was a
though?
Backup quarterback. He did
reasonably
well.
But he was a flash in the pan,
well.
Right? He barely
total
stayed in the league
in
after
pan.
That.
If Mo Lewis hadn't taken out Drew Bledsoe and shattered everything, every internal organ he had, nobody would have ever heard of Tom Brady. He's a bum.
Is Arizona the kind, we always hear this about the Cardinals, is that they've got a system in place where you can almost, the players are almost interchangeable. That can't be true, though, for quarterback, right?
No, it's never true for quarterback. But look, Jeff Hostetler was a backup quarterback, too. I mean,
right.
There are plenty of backup, Earl Morrill with the Dolphins. Backup quarterbacks have won Super Bowls before. I don't know that the Cardinals were good enough to win the Super Bowl, but they did have the best record in the NFL, which is all that matters, which means if they had kept it up, and they likely will, although they get the Lions this week, and Detroit's better than anyone thought, they will play home games in the playoffs, and that means everything.
That means a lot. That
yeah.
means a lot. All right, we got to leave it there for right now. Andrew Siciliano is our guest. He is the host of Around the NFL and DirecTV's Red Zone channel on Sundays, of course. More with Andrew right after this on K-Rock. Linkin Park on the world-famous K-Rock. They are playing night number one of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert, along with Fall Out Boy and Incubus and System of a Down and so much more. Night two includes Interpol, Imagine Dragons, Smashing Pumpkins, U2, Weezer. Get all the details and plan to buy your tickets Friday. By the way, you have to be a K-Rock Street Team member, but it's free. It takes like 30 seconds to sign up at K-Rock.com. You'll get a password, and then you can buy the tickets when they go on sale this Friday at noon. My date is sitting here in the room with us, our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Hey, Andrew. All right, we don't have a lot of time. You be nice to me. This show is next month, brother. All right?
Yes, sir.
We don't have a lot of time, but let me throw out a couple of other things and get your observations. First of all, I was surprised. Maybe I shouldn't have been, but I was surprised to see the Drew Brees Hail Mary with no time left touchdown to win the game disallowed. What happened there? That's not a call you see very often in that situation.
No, and I've seen a lot of things written. So, by the way, Jimmy Graham, who used to play basketball at Miami and is the best tight end in football, shoved down a guy
Great
named
Parrish
Cox. Yes, shoved him down. It's a push-off. He caught the touchdown. They threw the flag. They said it's a push-off, which is something they call a lot more this year. But it's rarely something you ever see on a Hail Mary. Normally on Hail Marys, do you guys ever play the game 500 as a kid? No, guys out there, you would throw the football up into the air, then everyone would try to shove, like just elbow each other in the head to try to get up. That's what Hail Marys are. They don't throw flags on those, but they threw it on Jimmy Graham. Clearly he pushed off. It should be a penalty, but you never see it called, and it changed the game. I mean, obviously if he catches it, they win the game,
right.
But they still went to overtime and had a chance in overtime. Drew Brees fumbled. So they can complain all they want. They were given a chance. That did not lose them the game. But the fact remains that they are under 500 at 4-5 and still leading the NFC South. That is how bad that division is. So they're not going to get a home playoff game, but they still have a very good chance of making the playoffs.
The 49ers, who of course I always root against for obvious reasons, they were out of that game two or three different times.
Sure.
It's amazing that they ended up coming back and winning it.
And the right. Saints had not lost at home with Sean Payton as head coach since January 2nd of 2011.
We hear so much about parity in the NFL. How does a game like last night's game happen where a team like the Bears can lose by 41 points?
Let me answer this in a backwards way. Have you ever heard, can you imagine a team named the Jeffersons?
Well, no.
Okay. In 1923, there was a team called the Rochester Jeffersons. They played a four-game schedule in the NFL in 1923. They're the last team to give up 50 points in consecutive games. That's how bad the Chicago Bears have been the last 2 weeks. They have given up 106 points in two games. And if there was ever a nationally televised performance in which the team announced, I don't want to play for this coach anymore, they were coming off a bye week.
Yes.
They had extra time to get ready for the Packers. And they gave up 55 points.
And there's just no answer for that. It's just that everybody sucks at their job, right?
But they shouldn't. They look, their defense is bad. Everyone knew the defense would be bad. But, I mean, with Alshon Jeffery, I mean, fantasy football players. Jay Cutler, Alshon Jeffery, Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett, Brandon Marshall. I mean, just put that quote-unquote fantasy talent on the field, and I hate breaking it down that simply, but if you do that, they're supposed to win football games. They should not be 3-6, allowing 106 in two games.
Well, it was a shocker, that's for sure. Speaking of bye weeks, that's what the Cowboys have this week. A lot of people thought Tony Romo should not have played in London over the weekend. I guess he proved them wrong.
Yeah, he was fine. Come on. Did you see him running around? I mean, he could between plays, he looked like your grandfather who's taking tiptoe steps to get to the kitchen. That's what he looked at. And then, you know, they snap the
ball. Put it between the lines all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's back.
He's fine. Listen, they get a week off. They needed that badly. They had lost two in a row. They go to London. Jacksonville's probably better than most people thought. Jacksonville gave them a game for a quarter, maybe a quarter and a half. And then the Cowboys pulled away.
All right. Last question, and we always ask you this every week you come in here. Every week we say, will the Raiders ever win a game? Are we at the point now where the light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train?
Yeah, so they've lost 15 in a row.
15 in a row, ladies and gentlemen.
You hear the newspaper right here. I'm trying to look up who they get next week. They've lost 15 in a row. It's their longest losing streak since a 19-game losing streak between 61 and 62. And next week they go to San Diego at 105 Pacific. They are not going to win in San Diego, so it will be 16 in a row. I do think they will win a game this year. I know that just makes everyone happy.
You ever talk to any Raiders on your NFL Network show?
We have not had a Raider on this year. If we were, it would
you're
be
professionals
like
only this year?
Wow. You know what? Derek Carr and Khalil Mack, their two rookies, have been fantastic.
Derek Carr was very impressive against the Seahawks.
Yes.
I just wonder what the mindset is like. Like, what do they say before they leave the tunnel to play football? What do you do in that situation?
They were not going to be there. See, I say they weren't going to beat the Broncos yesterday after the Broncos come off that loss. They're not going to beat the Broncos. Right. Yet the Jets beat the Steelers. So when I say anything could happen, as cliched as it sounds, they could have beaten the Broncos. But like when I was tweeting Saturday morning about Mississippi and Mississippi State and college football and how they had Presbyterian and Tennessee Martin on the schedule, which is an embarrassment. Why don't just they take a bye week and let these kids study? Right? And someone said, is it any different than the Broncos getting the Raiders tomorrow? Well, yes, because in the NFL you can win that game, except they never do.
Except they never do. We got to leave it there. By the way, the one other football moment is if you haven't seen the craziest play, one of the craziest plays in the history of college football between Oregon and Utah yesterday.
The 100-yard thing?
Yeah, the 178-yard thing between the two teams. Look for that on YouTube. It's one of the craziest things you'll ever see. All right, Andrew, what's happening on around the NFL this afternoon at 3? Anything good?
Everything I just said, plus a look at tonight's Monday night game, which is the Eagles and the Panthers. Yeah, that's it.
That's right. Yeah. And, of course, DirecTV Red Zone on Sundays. Andrew Siciliano, thanks for coming by, man. Good to see you.
See ya.
Ralph, if you don't go out on stage with Weezer and do the double hand clap, I'm going to be disappointed.
They keep begging. How can I not at this point?
I mean, look, it's Acoustic Christmas. It's time to blow it out, man. Make it special. Do
it. Will that make it special if I go out on stage and clap twice in a row and then once in a row?
Weezer, one of the bands featured on night number 2 of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's December 14th at the Forum, just announced this morning, along with night number 1 acts. You can get all the details at krock.com. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale is this Friday at noon. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
What time again?
Noon.
It is Monday morning, so on the Showbiz Beat, we tell you what the top 10 movies at the box office were over the weekend. Big surprise, Big Hero 6. Number 1 this weekend. A lot of people thought it was going to be Interstellar, but Big Hero 6 beat out Interstellar by about $6 or $7 million. Made 56,
I was surprised.
$56.2 million. Interstellar was behind it with $50 million. Then the rest of the top 10 just picked up the scraps. between those two big hits. Gone Girl made $6 million. It was number three. Then Ouija, St. Vincent, Nightcrawler, Fury, John Wick, Alexander, and the blah, 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 and The Book of Life. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Congratulations. Looks like Matt Damon will be back as Jason Bourne. There were rumors that he was going to be coming back, and it looks like it's been confirmed by Damon himself. Next year, it'll be 2016, he said, when the movie will actually come out. Paul Greengrass is going to do another one, and that's all I ever said. I just needed him to say yes. And so there will be another Bourne starring Ben Affleck, meaning that Jeremy Renner's Bourne films will be put on hold, at least for the time being.
Matt Damon, you mean, not Ben Affleck, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. The reason that came up is because Matt Damon was in a press conference with Ben Affleck because their Project Greenlight is coming back as well.
Oh, that's cool. I love that show.
Yeah, that's a cool show.
So do the Bournes exist in the same universe? Uh-huh. Or if Matt Damon, then no Jeremy Renner? Or is it possible they could both be in a movie?
I don't think they would do that because the premise of the films is sort of one man against all odds. I guess you could team them up, but I think they would probably like to have another Matt Damon born and then save Jeremy Renner and his second installment for a time when they don't have a Matt Damon born. So.
Well, they're all good movies. Whatever they're doing, it's working.
Very enjoyable. This is sad news. I have a Casey Kasem update for you.
Oh. Yeah. They buried him, though, right?
No. Carrie Kasem and her siblings claim now that their dad's body is now badly decomposing in a Scandinavian mortuary. They are suing to get his remains sent back to the U.S. so they can, in their words, bury what's left of him.
Is Don on the phone?
I wish Don would pick up the phone. Don, come on, get on the phone.
Seriously.
Carrie's requesting an autopsy still to see if Jean Kasem, his wife and caretaker, is in any way at fault for her father's death. And they worry that an autopsy will be fruitless if the decomposition continues. They think that may be Jean's motive as to why she's holding onto the body. It has not been properly prepared or, what do they call it, embalmed, I guess.
Right.
Before you get ready for a burial. It hasn't had any of that done to it, so it's just sitting in a fridge, apparently, not faring well. So.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Good golly, Miss Molly, indeed, Case. This is not what he was hoping for when he was going to reach for the stars.
It's not what any of us are hoping for. And by the way, how is this? Look, for whatever vengeful reason Jean Kasem has to handle it this way, doesn't this have to be troubling for her too? I mean, didn't she live with this man for decades and love him? How does she want his body in Scandinavia on a slab?
I think she's a loon.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's certainly what the kids are saying.
And geek news. It looks like we're starting to have the cast put together for the Suicide Squad movie. Very exciting.
I'm glad you brought that up because I've seen those words bandied a lot this weekend, and I have no idea what it is.
Suicide Squad is a batch of supervillains brought together by a woman named Amanda Waller, whose job it is to go out and take on dangerous missions that they probably won't come back from. Government gives them a chance to redeem themselves and avoid prosecution by performing on, suicide missions. Hence the Suicide Squad.
Obviously.
But it looks like they're going to have the Joker as a member of the Suicide Squad. Batman's villain, the Joker, likely to be played by Jared Leto, they claim. And, of course, Harley Quinn, Joker's girlfriend, looks like Margot Robbie from Wolf of Wall Street will be playing her.
Sorry, Woof.
Woof. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting times.
It is. Now, is this a new franchise of movies that might come
around?
Yeah,
this could be a new series. So
wow.
Sadly, it looks like Will Smith may also be in the film. So, look, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
Do you not like him as an actor?
I do not.
I know you think he's a nut job as a person,
yes.
But even as an actor, you don't
think
he's good.
I think he's been in some good films. I think he has not bothered me in, like, the Men in Black films. Mm-hmm. But I always find him acting. He never seems natural and sort of just inhabiting the characters for me. He always seems like he's just being old Will Smith all over the place. It's just my own personal take.
Well, that's how they do it in that house, as we've discussed.
They are large. They are larger than life, as his wife has proved on Gotham many, many weeks in a row. I think that old man will be out of commission. Thank you for your consideration. Hey, all day long, I've been neglecting to mention, and I certainly didn't do it on
purpose. The anniversary of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, ladies and gentlemen. 39 years!
No, no.
Oh. The Marine Corps birthday?
Yes, yes. Oh. I did not do it out of any sort of malice. I was just unaware. Thanks to Patrick Fields, who sent in this message. Any chance you can say happy birthday to the United States Marine Corps? Today is their 239th birthday.
How about that?
I know all those Marines down near Camp Pendleton, 29 Palms, would love the shout-out, especially getting over our hangovers from our birthday balls. Look, I don't want to know about your personal life, fellas. Whatever you do in the Marines, it's up to you. Thank you, Patrick, for writing in and giving me the heads up. Congratulations to all our Marines out there celebrating their 239th birthday.
Isn't that amazing? November 10th, 1775, and still going strong and saving the world.
Oh, I got to tell you, the Marines are the toughest bastards out there. Ooh-ah.
Exactly.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tracy Morgan's 46, Sinbad's 58. Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy is 45 years old. Rapper Warren G is 44 years old. Walton Goggins, you know him from The Shield and Justified. Sons of Anarchy. Guy works a ton. Very talented actor. 43 years old. Miranda Lambert is 31. Diplo, 36 years old. And actor Josh Peck is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
I'm just saying, when you're at mile 27 of a marathon, what's going to get you across the line? That's what I'm saying.
When you're at mile 27, aren't you done already?
No.
Marathon 26.2.
I think you're right.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Hard to believe with all the marathons I've run that I did not know the exact distance of a marathon. I'm embarrassed.
But in your defense, math is for losers anyway.
That's true. And hey, by the way, it's 26.2 miles, right?
Right.
So that 0.2 mile that you're running, that's the 27th mile you're in right there.
Boom.
Boom.
Drop Boom.
The mic.
Drop
Good
the
night,
mic. Walk
everyone.
Out. Hey, we just played some Fallout Boy. They killed us at the Weenie Roast that they played. Man, they were good. And they're going to be good again on night number one of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's going to be Saturday night, December the 13th at the Forum. Those shows just announced this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
What?
Can
what?
I,
yeah.
Can I hit you real quick with the lineups? You let me do that? Can I help
sure.
you?
Sure. Night yeah,
one.
Please.
Bush, Fallout Boy, Incubus, Linkin Park, New Politics, Rise Against, Royal Blood, System of a Down, and Walk the Moon.
Yeah!
But that's all you got, though. That's it. That we shot a wad, right?
The entire night you get to watch all those bands in one evening.
But that's it, though. There's just one night this year, right? Because we have everybody playing night one.
Au contraire, mon frere. What about Sunday night? What if I come back Sunday night? What do I see then? Oh, nothing. Just Alt-J, Imagine Dragons, Interpol, Modest Mouse, Smashing Pumpkins, Tears for Fears, Vance Joy, Weezer, U2!
What?
Will Glenda be there?
And Glenda!
That's unconfirmed, by the way.
Glenda's
about
coming.
Glenda.
Oh, Glenda, she's our surprise guest. She's coming out for a little
exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale is this Friday at noon. We're giving away tickets at the top of every hour from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. You can go to krock.com to sign up to win tickets to both nights. And make sure that you are a street team member so that you can buy those tickets when they go on sale, because obviously they will sell out as fast as it is possible to sell tickets on Friday at noon.
And this year, the Fabulous Forum, by the way. We're going to the Forum.
Yeah.
How about that, by
the way? Los Angeles history right there. We're going back to the Forum. It's awesome.
I have not stepped inside the new, completely renovated and redone Forum, but everyone who has been blown away by its beauty.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's just incredible. So I'm very excited to get in there myself.
It's going
to
be cool.
All right, KRock.com for all the details. Ralph is here now. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Speaking of tickets, I've got some to give away. They're not acoustic Christmas tickets, but they're cool. They're tickets for the premiere of Horrible Bosses 2.
Oh, that's cool.
Yay!
Yeah. Wildly popular film, that Horrible Bosses, the first one. And they're all back. Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, Jason Sudeikis. Jennifer Aniston is her slutty self. She's back. You get to see him. Jamie Foxx. Everybody will be there at the premiere. Walk the red carpet on Thursday, November the 20th at the TCL Chinese Theater. You want to go? Give me a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get through with that number. Get a pair of tickets to the premiere of Horrible Bosses 2. If you don't win, don't feel bad, because the movie is in theaters everywhere on November the 26th, and you'll get to see it then. It won't be as good, but you'll get to see it.
So yeah, because it's used at that point. It's all used up.
That's right. I would try to call if I could and would. I once again would like to apologize to the Marines, the United States Marine Corps.
Thank you.
Celebrating their 239th birthday today. We have a lot of Marine listeners down there near Camp Pendleton and 29 Palms.
And some of us are grateful for those men and women. Some of us.
Some of us appreciate your sacrifice, and we feel a little better knowing you're out there protecting our freedoms. Others are communists who decide that it would be a funny joke to play on you to play the wrong music. Instead of playing the Halls of Montezuma, your beloved and inspiring theme, to play the caissons go rolling along instead as some sort of mockery of the Marines. Who would
nothing
do that?
Wrong with the Army, by the way.
Nothing wrong with the Army at all. It's just not their birthday, that's all.
Right.
But Beer Mug just thought it would be funny just to screw with the Marines because he hates the Marines.
Look, I love nothing more than our fine men and women of the United States military. It was labeled the Marine bed. Now, I don't have time to listen to every single thing, especially when we're live on air. Oh, so I thought it'd be nice to throw it in while Ralph is, you know.
Spoken like a true communist. Spoken like a true Al-Qaeda. Are you ISIS now? Who are you working for?
No. I am an American, and I apologize. Partially, mostly, not my fault.
I would like to say I appreciate all the Marines also who tweeted me with the hashtag Semper Fire Beer Mug. Which I thought was awesome.
How about that, huh? Do it right.
There we go. Oh,
a little better?
Oh, that's some music right there.
Is that...
Marine Corps theme.
I can't make it out, but is that Beer Mug pooping on American flag
that's
right
what
now?
He's doing.
Is that what I see him doing?
He is pooping, flaming poop. He's setting the flag on fire with his flaming poop.
Wow, that is wildly inappropriate.
Yes. It's not me.
That's physically impossible, yet somehow he's doing it. The poop is coming out of him on fire. You.
That doesn't
bastard.
Surprise me based on his diet, by the way.
Can we just blame it on Kevin?
No, you did it.
Kevin's not here to have done it, Bugs. I'm sorry, this one's you. And I'm still sticking with Semper Die.
USA! Semper Fire Beer Mug. I like it. Top 10 movies at the box office this week. And Big Hero 6 was the big winner. $57 million made it number one. I said earlier and all day today that Interstellar was behind it at $50 million. Turns out Interstellar didn't quite make the $50 million mark. A little bit shy. But it was still number two. Gone Girl, Ouija, and St. Vincent were the rest of the top five. Nightcrawler, Fury, John Wick, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, and The Book of Life rounding out the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. I would like to talk to Lord's parents.
To congratulate them on what a great job they did with her?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it or what they did, but she is a miracle. She is enormously talented. Wise beyond her years, mature at a level that you don't see out of a 48-year-old, let alone an 18-year-old.
Absolutely.
Most young stars with her star power and income and popularity would be dancing on tables when they turned 18. Lord apparently had a low-key dinner with her boyfriend James Lowe at a small cafe in New Zealand. That's how she celebrated her 18th birthday.
How do you reconcile that Taylor Swift is one of her very best friends in the world, and they spend a lot of time together?
That's
including
how wonderful Lorde is, that she is willing to look at the damaged, horrible human being that Taylor Swift is and take her under her wing and try to help her, try to make her a better person. That's what a giver Lorde is.
You don't think it's possible that Lorde knows something about Taylor Swift that makes her awesome that you can't see?
No, she's just such a sweet girl. She feels so sad for that evil, broken, twisted succubus that she said, maybe I can help this poor girl out. Maybe I can drag her out of her 14-year-old diary songwriting and make her and turn her into something of value.
So
maybe,
it's
just maybe.
Charity from Lorde.
Okay. It is charity. She's doing the Lord's work. Ha ha! See? I'm lightning! Thank you. Thank you so much. Today's celebrity birthdays. Josh Peck is 28 years old today. Miranda Lambert is 31. How come everything has to go back to Taylor Swift? Why can't it just be about Lorde, man? Why do you got to bring it around?
Well,
why do
because
you have to
they're
steer the conversation to your hell.
I bring it up when it's appropriate. In this case, you love Lorde so much and are so complimentary about the choices that she makes. I'm just wondering how
she's
you reconcile because it seems like that's a big blemish for you when it comes to Lorde.
You know,
that's
I love Lorde because Lorde never said, "Hate is gonna hate." She's not a child.
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Thank you, Bean. Finally,
that guy's wrong. Whoever that guy is, he's wrong.
Josh Peck's 28 years old today. Miranda Lambert is 31. Diplo, 36 years old. Walton Goggins, very talented, hardworking actor from The Shield and Sons of Anarchy and Justified. He's 43 years old. Warren G's 44. Ellen Pompeo, you know her from Grey's Anatomy, 45. Tracy Morgan, hope he's healing. Gets better every day, according to friends. 46 years old, and Sinbad celebrates his 58th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, it's a good one. Not only do we have more tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas that you can win at 9 a.m., one of our favorite comedians, Eddie Ift, is going to be stopping by. We love
awesome.
Eddie.
Love Eddie.
David Tennant on the program tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's the star of TV's Grace Point.
But he's Doctor Who.
He was Doctor Who as well.
No!
He's great in everything. He's just a terrific actor. He seems far too classy to be on our show.
He is. This is a mistake.
I think it is a mistake. What are you?
Can't
what's
have
happening?
Ralph anywhere near him.
What are you doing? What's happening right now, Ralph?
It's my TARDIS.
What's going on?
It's my TARDIS impression.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And as if that's not enough, what if I were to tell you that tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we will announce the details on how you can be Miss Double December 2015.
Yay! My goodness.
It's that time.
Most wonderful time of the year. Yep. It's all tomorrow right here on K-Rock.